Commission public hearing Monday, February the 9th, 2015. Bob, could you establish a quorum, please?
Okay. Dave Stewart.
Present.
Rick Caudill.
Here.
Steve Adams.
Here.
Brad Lawrence.
Here.
Doug Bobbian.
Here.
Randy Fogel.
Here.
Randy Hayes.
Here.
Ronnie Melton.
Here.
And George Kramer.
Here.
We have established a quorum.
Can you hear that now? How about now? Ronnie, speaking yours.
Yeah.
Everybody here? I'm speaking that one right now. Sounds loud. Okay, can everybody hear me? Okay. Bob, would you establish quorum, please? Oh, yeah, we already done that. I'm sorry. I got to playing with the mic here. Yeah. Can you explain the meeting procedures, please?
Okay. I'd like to welcome you to the February 9th, 2015 Taney County Planning Commission public hearing. Public hearings are required and governed by the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code and are held for each Division 3 permit application, which is filed with the Planning Commission staff. At this time, I'd like to enter the Taney County Development Guidance Code into evidence as Exhibit A, the staff report for each case as Exhibit B, and the staff file including all pertinent information for each case as Exhibit C for all cases to be heard at the public hearing this evening. A staff report for each case will be read, followed by a video presentation of each site and any questions for staff. As has been indicated, if you wish to comment at this public hearing, a sign-up sheet's been provided here in the front of the room, and registration for comment will cease before the public hearing begins. When it's your opportunity to speak, your name will be called. Please proceed to the podium right here at the front of the room in order to address the Planning Commission. All comments and questions are to be addressed directly to the Planning Commission and not to anyone in attendance in the audience. The public hearing shall be closed upon the conclusion of public comment. The Division II application being heard this evening will be voted upon next Tuesday, February 17th, during the Planning Commission regular meeting at this same time. You may leave after your case has been heard. Thank you so much.
Okay, we're here to talk about Echo Hollow Estates tonight. Is a representative here?
Yes.
Tim? Come on up, please.
Okay, this is case number 2015-1. The project is Echo Hollow Estates. The applicant is Valley Stream Development, LLC, and the representative is Tim Friend. The property in question is located in the approximately, we'll zoom in here. It's located on the south side of State Highway 165, immediately west of Cedar Glade Road, in the Oliver Township, Section 24, Township 22, Range 22. And we've got a view from the north of the property in question, a view from the south and east and the west here of the same property. The request, the applicant, Valley Stream Development, LLC, is seeking the approval of a major subdivision plat for Echo Hollow Estates, which is a 24-lot subdivision, while also requesting the approval of a Division 3 permit authorizing a nightly rental land use for any of the 24 lots in question. The background on this: on September 11th, 1992, the Planning Commission approved Division 3 Permit 92-126A, authorizing the development of an RV park and a commercial subdivision on a total of approximately 77.5 total acres, referenced as the Wilderness Club RV Resort Incorporated. Approximately 66.5 acres were located on the south side of State Highway 165, and this is the map from the application at that time, with 11 acres being located on the north side of State Highway 165. On June 22, 1994, the plat of the Wilderness Club RV Resort was signed by the Planning Department staff and filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds. And, of course, this is the plat that was filed. So, 94, you had basically this portion that was platted. Then on August 21, 1995, the Planning Commission denied the request by Pine Woods Village to rezone approximately 21.5 acres to develop up to 104 single-family lots for cabin-style homes. The primary concern noted dealt with density. However, on September 20th, 1995, the Board of Adjustment granted an appeal to the denial issued by the Planning Commission, authorizing the development of Pinewood Village. And basically, at this time, the approximately 8.77-acre tract in question really appears to be indicated in both previous maps, as it does appear on the property in question, but it appears to be shown as a future phase of that development. In general, again, this is a proposed 24-lot subdivision on approximately 8.77 acres. And like I said, the applicant is both seeking preliminary plat approval via the subdivision regulations and then also seeking nightly rental approval for the 24 log cabins that would be constructed on the lots within Echo Hollow Estates. The applicant has indicated that the log homes will range in size from approximately 1,500 square feet to 2,500 square feet. These were some examples that the applicant provided of some other log homes that he has constructed. In review, on July 19, 2012, the Taney County Commission adopted the subdivision regulations for Taney County, which removed and separated the subdivision regulations from the Development Guidance Code. Per the provisions of the subdivision regulations, basically an administrative minor subdivision is looked upon as not more than six tracts. Once you get beyond six tracts, seven tracts of land, it's looked upon as a major subdivision, which would require Planning Commission approval, both per the subdivision regs and per Missouri Revised Statute. The 24 lots within Echo Hollow Estates will be served by an existing Taney County Regional Sewer District main, and also an existing community well that does serve the entire development. The required minimum lot size for lots served via public sewer is 8,000 square feet, with a minimum road frontage of 70 feet per lot. All of the lots indicated on the submitted sketch plan will meet the minimum lot size and road frontage requirements. The road rights-of-way serving the subdivision have been cleared, as you can see on the aerial photo, for a number of years, and it appears they've been cleared since about 2006 anyway, because they do show up on the aerial photography at that time. And basically, the water mains, the sewer mains, and the underground electric services have been put in place, essentially adjoining these roadways. However, prior to final plat approval, the applicant shall either install all of the final public improvements, or per the regulations, the applicant would be required to provide an appropriate security for those improvements, whether it was a performance bond, an irrevocable letter of credit, or a cash bond for 110% of the costs associated with the improvements. The representative has submitted engineering plans for grading, roadway, storm drainage, sanitary sewer, and water plans. Per the provisions of the Taney County road standards, Echo Hollow Estates will be considered a high-density residential subdivision, requiring basically 50 feet of roadway and a 31-foot roadway width for all the new subdivision roads. This is one of diagrams from the road standards. It's actually, I apologize, I've pulled the wrong one here, so disregard that. The representative is proposing a green space area that he's indicated will be maintained via the Property Owners Association. In the meantime, like I said, he is also requesting a Division III land use permit for nightly rental. And, of course, nightly rental is defined as a residential building, structure, or part thereof that may be rented for any period of time less than 30 days. Counting portions of days as full days, and so currently the applicant would have the ability to rent any of the 24 residences for a period of 30 days or greater, but he is seeking to have the ability to rent for periods of time less than 30 days. Per the nightly rental provisions of the Development Guidance Code, the maximum occupancy for a nightly rental is two persons per dwelling unit, plus two persons per bedroom. Therefore, a three-bedroom home would have a maximum occupancy of eight people. Per the nightly rental provisions of the Development Guidance Code, one off-street parking space shall be provided for each two persons of occupancy in a nightly rental. Therefore, a total of four parking spaces would be required for a two-bedroom house. The adjoining property immediately to the north is a vacant tract owned by the Wilderness Club Incorporated. The adjoining property immediately to the south is the Pine Woods Village. The adjoining property immediately to the east is the Wilderness Club RV Resort. And the adjoining property immediately to the west is a vacant tract of land within the municipal limits of Hollister. The project received a score of negative 5 on the policy checklist out of a maximum possible score of 57. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of emergency water supply, solid waste disposal service, pedestrian circulation, and traffic. The staff recommends that two separate votes be conducted regarding this proposal. The first vote will need to be taken regarding preliminary plat approval for Echo Hollow Estates based upon its compliance with the provisions of the subdivision regulations. The second vote would then be in regard to the Division 3 permit authorizing the nightly rental land use. The staff recommendations on this, and what I've put together is really two separate sets of recommendations, since potentially there's two votes. If the Taney County Planning Commission approves the preliminary plat for Echo Hollow Estates subdivision, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Subdivision Regulations, the Taney County Development Guidance Code, and the Taney County Road Standards. Second, the applicant shall submit a report signed and sealed by a registered engineer in compliance with Article 6, Section 4 of the Subdivision Regulations, prior to receiving final plat approval. The engineer's report shall include the following items: stormwater drainage, water supply, wastewater disposal, and the traffic analysis and street capacity. Number three, the final plat shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 2 years of the date of approval of the preliminary plat. The final plat may be submitted in phases, with each phase covering a portion of the approved preliminary plat. If the final plat is submitted in successive phases, the developer will have 1 year after each phase to record the final plat of the next phase. The Planning Commission may grant an extension of time for final plat submission if it finds that the conditions on which the preliminary plat have been approved have not changed substantially. For all of the required improvements, as enumerated within Article 8 of the Subdivision Regulations, shall either be installed or an appropriate security, as described earlier, shall be provided to the Planning Department office. Five, compliance letters from the Missouri Department of Natural Resources, the Taney County Regional Sewer District, the Taney County Road and Bridge Department, and the electric cooperative owning the power, the existing power easement, shall be provided to the Planning Department office. All roads within Echo Hollow Estates shall be constructed in compliance with the Taney County Road Standards. 7 Division 1 permits will be required for all applicable structures in the development. 8 Prior to the issuance of Division 1 permits, the applicant shall ensure that the applicable sewer and water connections are in place. 9 This decision is subject to all existing easements. 10 The applicant shall provide a Missouri DNR construction permit for all water mains. 11 This decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. If the Taney County Planning Commission approves the Division 3 permit authorizing the nightly rental of the 24 units within Echo Hollow Estates, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Second, compliance letters from the Western Taney County Fire Protection District and the Missouri Department of Revenue, including all other entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature, shall be provided to the Planning Department office. Third, a valid Missouri Department of Revenue sales tax license shall be provided to the Planning Department office prior to the issuance of a certificate of compliance. 4, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. 5, this decision is subject to all existing easements. 6, all residences utilized for nightly rentals shall accommodate no more than 2 persons per dwelling unit plus 2 persons per bedroom. The total occupancy may be further limited based upon the provisions of the Western Taney County Fire Protection District requirements and regulations. 7, one off-street parking space shall be provided for each 2 persons of occupancy within each nightly rental cabin. And 8, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. We've got just a couple of really quick, really brief videos here. And we just took one video right at the entrance to the property in question. And I think I did a quick 360 here. And this is just kind of a shot into the property. And just did a quick 360 to speed this up a little bit. And then we did a second video where we basically drove the roadways that have been graded. And as you can see, the utilities have been put in place. Here's an electrical box. Basically, we just drove the entire circle here.
Tim, have you got anything to add to any of this?
Not really. Right, I think he's covered most of it. Do you have any questions I could answer?
Anybody got any questions for Tim?
Is the infrastructure in on your
It is. All the sewer, water, and it's hooked to the county sewer.
Then we're calling for plans, Bob, for the infrastructure? Did I understand that right?
On a lot of this, we do have plans. Some of the sets of plans, I don't believe were signed in some different things, but I haven't provided, for example, any of the road plans to Randy, and so a lot of these we would have to review, especially prior to final plat approval.
Sure. Well, if they're already in, I mean, you'd almost have to do an as-built of what was out there, wouldn't you?
At the time, when the sewer was put in, the county inspected that at the time. I've got documentation from the previous developer, yes. Okay. So we'll have part of what was already done, then we'll have to do the updated information. Do what now? About 2008, yes.
Mm-hmm. Hang on a minute. You see that in your mark there, where push, minus, or plus, push, or plus?
Okay.
Can't hear none of us?
Okay. Is that better?
Yeah. Now you can hear him better than you can me.
It's connected into the existing commercial well, yes. Yes, they're all hooked together. It was put in 2008. It was sanitized, pressurized, everything.
Are you going to pump more storage in or something? They say if they have a water problem during the summer and strict.
The water well is still owned by the original developer. That's all regulated by DNR. It's designed, from what I understand at this point in time, by talking to DNR and talking to the original developer, that if everything's built out complete through all four stages, there's going to either be a 20 or 30,000 gallon additional water tower put in, which will be responsibility of the developer, and that's how it's being handled. But it hasn't been turned over to the homeowners association yet, but it's designed to be turned over to all four homeowners associations once they turn it over, like any development is.
Okay, anybody got any more questions?
I'm concerned about the green space. Who owns it?
It will be owned and operated by the homeowners association. That's correct.
Okay. Now, on these nightly rentals, have you got plenty of parking off street?
Yes, sir. I think in your packet you've seen that in front of the houses, I give you a typical section, and basically it shows in that 25-foot easement area, a setback that you're required by the county anyway. All that across the front there in front of the homes is always set aside for parking so they can pull in straight. You can put four or five cars in there in front of each parking lot as far as the width of the lot, and then the yard starts from there back, and the house sits in there. So basically there won't be anybody parking on the street.
What about boat parking? There'll be boats there.
Did you see that parking easement?
I did. I saw that, but it's really not explained on where it's going to cover.
It'll cover basically, that's an entire easement along the back of lots 1 through 5.
Now, how do they get there?
Right there from the road. Right there by lot 1. There's a road right there. So that we'll have an easement along the back. Those lots are 190 feet deep. The houses will be built in the front off the easement, and then underneath there will be all parking easement for the any boats or trailers they have. It's a large, very large space.
Okay, anybody else got any questions right now?
Yeah, the homeowners association that's going to take care of the green space and everything for this development, this is made up of the people that own the various and sundry rental units.
Exactly.
Okay. Do you have any kind of documentation or anything that shows what kind of agreement they have to sign and what kind of funding is going to be available to maintain that?
It'll be under the regulations of the documents of the homeowners association, like every development has, and they'll be required to have their money in place and their reserves in place, just like any other homeowners association.
But you're not going to have anything set up for everybody to agree to in the beginning. You're going to sell all this out, and
they have to agree to it every time they come in and purchase a home and everything, just like you would if you were selling.
That's what I'm saying. So you've got a homeowners agreement.
Sure.
So you do have something to show us that say this is how we're going to provide the income to do what needs to be done with this business.
I have a generic platform that we always use that shows all that detail, and then we always customize it to the each development. Okay. But yes, it'll all be in place like that. Yes. I don't have the numbers to that yet on this one, but it'll all be put together. It'll all be according to what the requirements, because a lot of developments have a ton of green space and are very expansive. Might be 150 homes, so it depends on each development. So it's according to what the costs are.
Okay. Do you know how much green space you're
going to
have around this?
Yeah, we're just looking for like a small area, maybe some that way we've got picnic tables, maybe a gazebo, something like that. Very simple. Sure.
But you don't have an estimated cost of what it takes to maintain that estimated amount?
Not yet, no.
Okay.
But we will.
Who's operating the well at the present time?
Yeah, the developer still has control of it. And that is Wilderness Club, Inc. Okay. Now, that's not to be mixed up with the Wilderness Club RV Resort. It's a different entity. It's still the developer that started the project.
Associations run well. It's not very well done. I've been in the water business for a long time. But is it metered now to the other properties, or these properties going to be metered?
From what I understand, there's no meters on any of the lots, and so it's not metered. But that was, the way the developer put it in.
I understand. It happens.
It does.
Okay. Anybody else got any questions? Right now, Greg? Tim, if you'll sit down, and we will thank you.
Okay,
and,
appreciate it.
We'll listen to it.
I would say one more thing. If the other developments want to put meters in, I would be more than happy to do it on this development.
Thank you.
Okay?
What's wrong?
Speak louder, please. Everybody up there.
Bob, are we having a problem with our system? Can you hear me now?
We can hear you, but couldn't hear him at all.
Bob or Dave?
The guy doing it on the
phone.
That must be me.
That was funny. Okay. Dave Milton.
I'm Dave Middleton. I live in the Wilderness Club RV Resort, and thank you for the distinction between that. I was wondering, I was confused in the beginning. These are rental properties, but then he was talking about an association, so they're actually going to be investment rental properties? Or is it just a rental property where a tourist can come and call a number and rent a cabin? How is that explained? Are they going to people owning these cabins? I'm not sure.
It is our understanding that these cabins will be owned by individuals who will allow them to be rented out. That's correct.
Is that right?
That's similar to.
So not the developer owning the cabins and renting them, but individual owners.
Developers. He's going to develop this thing, put in a few cabins, sell them, and then put in some more, sell some more as the profitability allows.
And when would they be rented? By the people who buy them?
Yes.
So they're buying them as an investment to rent them?
Correct.
That brings up the question of who's to maintain them. The association members won't be there. They'll be rented to the public. How is the public to know the regulations of outside garbage or parking? Or if there's a problem in the area, who's to be notified? The individual owner of the individual cabins, we'd have to have, quite a mailing list to, and I'm not sure how that would work. That's something that the commission, I'm sure, would have to consider with this. The water is, from what I understand, the Pine Woods Water Trust, they're obligated to supply the water to this area. We're concerned, or I am especially, about the supply and equipment that's in there. They mentioned a backup or an extra tank, a larger storage tank, or an additional storage tank. I don't know if that's something that is contingent on the permit to be granted, but it's something definitely would have to be considered because there is, you know, towards the, you know, maximum of the output that they have now.
DNR regulates that. DNR would regulate that.
So that's something that the DNR would inspect, or a proposal has to be passed for that as well.
Well, they have to send in samples of the water quality, I think, once a month.
Okay.
And you have to have a qualified operator to send samples in.
And that would all be done through the new development of the Echo Hollow Estates?
That would be done by whoever maintains control of the well.
The water trust that's in place now.
And surely it's taking place at this
point. It's going on now. You probably don't even know about it.
Okay. I guess my main concern to be considered is the way the rental operation would be with non-attendance owners renting different units for, you know, the period of time, how that's going to be managed, who would, you know.
There is people that specialize in that. I don't know what their plans are, but there's people that specialize in
property
kind of
management,
brokers in this
right.
type of a situation. And
but that's something that would be of concern.
That is of concern, yes. You
know. Okay. Thank you.
Folks, if any of you got your phones turned up where we can hear them, turn them off or turn them down. And I'd appreciate it if you don't talk on them while you're in here. Tim St. John.
That's Tom St. John, and I live.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I live
like
in
an
the
eye to me, Tom.
In the wilderness, I live in the Wilderness Club RV Resort, and I want to continue with the water question. We're already rationed in the summertime on the water we can use by days, odd days or even days. And then the next question on the water would be, who's going to pay for this additional tower or this reservoir? Is that going to be part of our association at the Wilderness Club RV Resort? Are we going to pay part of that, or is the developer paying that themselves? But where is the money coming for that?
And that would depend somewhat on what your contract is now. Have you read your contract good?
Probably not.
It's a water trust, though.
Pardon?
It's a water trust, and it's perpetual. We're obligated, and they're obligated to supply. We're obligated to buy. I imagine that they're setting.
I'm sure you pay a monthly bill.
You pay
now.
A monthly bill, right? It's not metered, but that's fine.
Mm-hmm. It's done a lot of times that way.
And we're just concerned about the water. Like I said, we're rationed in the summertime, odd and even days. Can't water the grass, whatever. And the capacity of the well itself, is that going to be able to fill these water towers? I think all this needs to be settled with DNR or whomever.
When the well was drilled, it was drilled to furnish, I would say, this whole development.
But what I'm saying is it's already.
The well should have enough capacity. It would be the storage that you're probably.
Sorry. Okay. So the pump itself would be sufficient to...
I don't know. He'd have to get his engineering report to see that. But I'm sure it has to have, according to our the regulation that the Planning Commission put on, they have to have a engineered water report.
Okay.
So...
Well, I just want to say there seems...
The report should tell us what needs to be done.
There just seems to be a stress on the water right now. With an additional 22 homes, it might be a bigger problem.
I understand your worry.
That's all I had.
Thank you. Frank?
I'm Frank. I've already asked all of my questions.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. I would like to stress any of you that, like Frank, it's got questions, and you already get them answered. We'll move on. Josh? Or Jack? I'm sorry.
No problem. I'm going to buy you a pair of new glasses.
No.
I'm Jack Sweeney. I'm with the RV Estates, too.
My question is probably to the developer. Are there any developments like this in the area that we can actually look at that are similar so we can see how they're maintained? And is there a sales office on the location? So,
well, I'm sure there's developments like this in the area.
I mean, the people that are doing it, are they able to answer that or not?
You are building some now, right? Out on it.
He's built some in the past, yeah.
Where are they?
Oakmont Hills is one out of 86 Owen.
Will there be a sales office at this location?
It won't be really a sales office because there won't be any sales.
Are you
going to
sell them?
Okay. This is not a... Up here. I bet I can get this one right. Harold Coleman.
Yeah, my name is Harold Coleman, and I live in Pinewoods Village.
Come on up here, sir.
You can probably hear me better than hear everybody else.
You got
I'm kind of gruff, but anyway.
You got a voice that carries.
Yeah. I, too, share the concerns with everybody else on the water, number one. Number two, it's awful easy to sit here and say what everybody's job is and what part they play in this and what they're going to do. Well, it didn't quite turn out that way in Pinewoods Village. Has anybody ever drove up there and looked at our streets in Pinewoods Village? The streets are in terrible shape, and I'd like to know, is there anybody here that can tell me who's supposed to be taking care of those streets up there in Pinewoods Village? And the reason I'm asking that is because what happens with what we're talking about tonight, it's going to go right on over. So I'd like to know who's supposed to be taking care of Pinewood Village. I know that in Branson, the city of Branson, you pay your taxes to Branson. They take care of the roads. All cities are that way. Counties, like Hollister. Hollister takes care of their roads. They have tax money to do that. So are we in the county there, or we pay our taxes to the county? So who takes care of those roads? Who should be doing that?
Do you have a homeowner association?
It's not an association yet.
Most places you pay a due.
We don't pay any dues, but still, people that live in Branson, Missouri do not pay dues, but their roads are taken care of because it's done with tax money. So I guess you're telling me you don't know who's supposed to be maintaining the roads at Pinewood Village.
Each one of you out there right now, until you get them in such a shape that the county would take them over.
Then what are they doing with my tax money? Anybody tell me that?
We're not here talking about your tax money or the roads.
Okay, I should have prefaced all of this. Are we here tonight to talk about a new area? Because I'm just telling you that what's going on over in Pinewoods Village, nobody will fess up to fixing those roads. That's just one thing that we have over there, and I see a lot of this going right along with what we're talking about tonight. So that's why I'm asking. I was going to bring up the matter of boats. Right now, we're not allowed to have boats over there, but there's a boat sitting in the guy's driveway. It's been there over a month. So I'm just bringing all this up. It's not that I expect you guys to fix any of that. I'm just saying that if everybody doesn't do what they say they'll do, you wind up with what I got over there in Pinewoods Village, and there's other people here that feel the same way. So other than that, I guess that's all I got.
Steve, can I try to help address this a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm new on the commission, so if I get out of line, you tell me. When you do a subdivision, which I've done, and you lay out your road plan, you can lay out a road plan with your own idea and however you want to do it. you want the county to maintain the roads, then you have to use what the county says is the idea. So if you're going, if you want to run a 30-foot easement, have you a nice little lane that gets you to your houses, that's fine. But the county won't recognize it. They won't maintain it. You have to use county standards when you put your road in, and that was not done. You're on a private road, and it's up to the homeowners to maintain it. If you want the county to maintain it, then you, there's an application that you can do to apply for county maintenance on your road.
Okay, then what I need to do is look at, and we don't have a homeowners association over there. It still belongs to you know who, Audrey. Over there, do you know her?
Okay.
And, you know, it's just that we can't get
anything done. Hey, let's wait a minute. We're getting off. George explained to you, so let's move
on. Okay. All right. Well, that's all I got then.
Okay. Thank you. John?
I'm here.
Okay. What's your last name, sir?
McCarkle.
Okay.
I'm a resident.
Okay. Come on up here.
I have one item here. I was wondering why some residents got a notice and others didn't.
The way we notify is we go 600 feet from the parcel boundary, and we just literally have a computer program that draws a boundary out 600 feet from the parcel in question, and statutorily that's who we're required to notify is the folks within the 600 feet.
Well, you must have a problem with your computer, because Mr. Coleman lives right next to me. He didn't get one, and another person on the other side didn't get any.
Don't we also put it in the paper, and the paper is our requirement?
Yeah, we also do post it in the paper.
The property is also
posted. And then we post the property itself as well.
So that's all I have.
Okay.
Thank you. Bunny? Hey, I got it right, didn't I? Smotherman?
Smotherman. We live at the top of the hill in Pine Woods Village Estates. And when we bought our home 3 years ago, we bought it because it was such a quiet, peaceful neighborhood with nature and no outsiders. Once in a while, you get a drifter coming through, you know, a tourist. But it really grieves me to see this happen, because now there will be every kind of person or whatever coming through our neighborhoods, invading our privacy, so to speak. To me, it will look extremely tacky compared to the rest of the community. As far as the water thing, whatever man said that about our water being rationed, it has been for the whole 3 years I've lived there. And you can kind of tell by the tank where the water line is. And when we first moved there, it was a lot better than it has been for 3 years. And I don't know if this guy, I forgot your name, I'm sorry, I didn't understand. Is he going to put in more water service, and then we're all going to be expected to pay for that?
No.
How can you explain that better?
My understanding was, and I don't want to speak out of turn, but my understanding was, when this Pinewood Village, Wilderness Club, and all of them were developed at that time,
mm-hmm.
this was included.
What?
So it was included, but the storage hasn't been upgraded to carry this part that he's going to do. And that's something that the DNR would have to get in and evaluate and see how much more storage is needed. And my understanding is, if I understood it correctly, yes, all of you would be asked to put up some money, if I'm not misunderstanding, all the homeowners association would be would be asked to be in on that cost. But maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think so. I hope so.
Well, I hope you are, because when you move into a place, you don't expect to have added burdens to your finances, you know. And I know that it was put in to service the whole thing, but I also know how depleted it's been. And personally, I do not want to have to ante up a bunch of money for somebody else to make a bunch of money to, in my opinion, destroy the neighborhood.
And that part's not in our control.
No, I'm just voicing my opinion, and I'm very saddened to see something like this go in. And it will cause a lot more traffic through the neighborhood, which will destroy our roads. The trash trucks do a bad enough job, you know, on days. And when do we vote on this? Because I am a definite no for all of it.
You just cast your vote.
What you said there earlier, I just have to ask.
That's fine.
He showed these pictures of these cabins they're building, and you thought they were going to be tacky. Why do you think they're going to be tacky?
No. Well, I don't know that the cabins will be tacky. I just know what rentals bring in. I've lived
You're
in the area.
About the people, not what he's building.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And then if you pull in and you see a lot of boats and all that goes with it, it really takes away from the aesthetics of the neighborhood, is my opinion. And so my concern is being done for money when we already pay nearly $1,500 in taxes and everything else. You know, I have lived in the Branson area and now the Hollister area. The Branson sewage bill was literal, and water was very minimal. The sewer bill for where we are now is almost $40, which fries me. But the water bill is very affordable, you know, and I just don't want to have something put on me, a financial burden that, you know, you don't plan on. You think you're going to live there forever in a nice, peaceful, safe neighborhood, and I don't feel like the neighborhood will remain safe like it is now with everybody coming and going. So I just was, my main question was about the water bill.
Okay.
So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You don't want me to get this out. Sandra Paul.
Well, most of my questions have been answered, but I do have a couple. If this gentleman puts in an additional water storage, is it going to be tied into our storage? And then also, is it going to be checked every month like ours is checked now?
Well, it will be checked. I can answer that part of the question.
Okay.
Because
okay.
To provide water to the public, you have to have it
okay.
monitored.
Okay. The other thing is, let's see, what was the other thing? I couldn't hear real well back there, but when the drawing was up there and he was talking about boat storage and whatever, is there going to be a fence or something to hide that? Because we don't want to have to look at that every time we go in and out, and we'll be going right by it. And I know that's one thing. I live in Pioneer Woods or Pioneer Estates, and you can't have any boats. You can't have anything out. And it's a nice, clean neighborhood. And I've only been there about a year and a half, but I expected it to stay like that.
It has to be over on the backside. Okay.
I come in on Cedar Glade, which would be right along the edge, I think. And I'm kind of confused as to where that storage is. Okay, and the storage would be right there. You can see that. There would have to be a fence or privacy fence or something to hide all that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a big power line easement right through here.
And the other thing, I hope that a lot of trees are not destroyed, because, you know, that's one thing that Audrey was very adamant about, was the size of trees. It's hard to replace them.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Charles Sawyer, is that right? Charles? Your last name, Sawyer?
Sawyer.
Sawyer.
I live at the Pinewood Village Drive. And my concern is that these well goes down about every 2 months, and we're on top. We don't have any pressure. So we've got to do something about that.
If you want to get attention on your well, you people call DNR and complain. You will get attention.
Because the pump they got in there now isn't big enough.
No matter what the problem is.
Yeah.
Call DNR.
But do they don't take care of it now?
Just call them and try it.
They are the oversight for your water problems.
And they will respond to a complaint.
I have never seen them up there. I'm on top
of
the hill.
Well, maybe nobody's complained. I don't know.
We always complain.
Because I was in the water business for a long time, and DNR responds to every call in one manner or another.
Okay, we'll do that.
They will be there if somebody calls.
And I'm going to say something else here, too. I know it's out there by like we're passing the buck, but we cannot help you with your water.
No.
It is a private system, that, and there's, I mean, I could call DNR and complain for you, but then they're going to say, well, what's the problem? You guys need to get together, get your representative, call DNR and talk to them, because they will come down and look at it. I guarantee you. But it's the water's, it's a private system, and it's not for you.
But all the cabins below were put there, and then the well was running, taking care of them. Then they built our area up on top, and they just centered us right in, is it?
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to put 22 more units on it? Or 24? That's...
You don't want this conversation to take long, do you?
Okay.
I was in your position for a long time, and there's the DNR, that's where you go.
Okay.
Dave and George has answered a lot of your questions tonight. So that's all that's going to speak. Tim, you want to come back up here and see if you can't help us on...
Could I take Frank's spot, one question?
One more.
Yeah, you can have it. We did hear one vote.
Okay. Is there... Well, I'm just, you know, just joking. Okay. Is there an avenue for people who weren't able to attend this meeting to also voice their opinion and concerns, just as we've had this opportunity to address you?
Well, we got some responses by email and letter.
That's a way that would be suggested to the people
in front of us here.
So others would as well.
They've been notified, and the ones that wanted to respond have, and we've got them. They're laying right here.
But is this the end of it? Is like tomorrow?
This is the end of the public hearing. When this closes tonight, this is the end of the public hearing, and we'll vote on it at the next meeting.
So in this coming week, additional letters sent to you would be under consideration as well? Or
In the past, any documentation we've received, I've made copies for the Planning Commission. Any documents we've received in the past, I've made copies of for the Planning Commission at the next meeting.
I was speaking of tomorrow. And the next few days up to the 17th.
Yes.
They would also be included.
Yes. That's what we've done in the past.
Bob will make copies for all of us on the commission to read. Now, Tim, can you answer some of these people's questions about the water?
Sure. It's correct. The well...
No, he's addressing the commission.
Just speak into your mic, Tim.
The well was designed... originally for all the phases. So the well's large enough. The pump design and everything was put together. As all multiple phase projects are done, you do add additional storage along the way. So that is correct in what you guys were stating. One thing that the homeowners will probably appreciate from all indicators, I do not know what their agreement is between the initial developer and them, so I can't answer if they're liable to pay or not. But the developer has indicated to me that they will cover the additional cost for the additional storage tank. So I don't believe that that is going to be passed on to them. So with the additional storage and everything, and it's all regulated by DNR, like you said, we'll have all of our DNR stuff and everything, so as anything to do with that. As far as the quality, what are the questions that they had? And I'll try to, did you guys write any of them down?
Well, we're going to have a green space or a buffer on the one side where the boats are, of course, and it looks like there's plenty of green space around it.
There is. There is. Basically, when you come by the end of the road there, that's all green space. So there's no houses next door to it or anything to the south, and it's all green space. If you looked hard to your right when you come past it, you could see the parking spot there. If we needed to, I wouldn't have any problem putting a nice privacy fence right along the end or right along the end of the road at the end of the parking spot. I'd be happy to do that. You know, and everything. I understand everybody's concern. I live places too, but I build nice developments. I do nice things. These homes, as you've seen the pictures of it, are quality. They're real log homes. They're not log sided. They're quality homes. And the way it's designed, there are always people on site. The group that we've got now that does the rentals, they all are individual owners. They have maintenance crews that are out there. They have cleaning crews that are out there. They have operations crews that are out there that take care of all the guests and everything that are needed. So it's just not, you know, willy-nilly, you know, taken care of. It's very clean, very kept up, very nice. And so as far as traffic, we're the first ones in. We won't be going through anybody's neighborhood, you know, so I don't see an issue there. It's a nice entrance already. I don't know if you've been or not. Yeah. You know, the way that I've seen as far as the maintenance and everything, everybody has an easement on that road, and it's right now it's basically owned by the developer still. So that will be turned over once we hit a certain number. So when he sells, when I take this piece of property here and then, you know, they build out the last remaining development, that'll all be turned over. But I don't know, but I believe it's probably built to county specs where it could be eventually turned over to the county on the front up there. But that would have to be checked out. But the roads that we put in will be built to county spec to where they can't, could be turned over to the county later.
Is it your intention to get an
Not as far as the drive coming in, no, because that's actually owned by the developer.
What about in your area?
I don't plan on applying, but we will build to county specs, so if the homeowners want to apply later, they can.
Okay, what's the chance of getting an easement to come up 165 so you can have a separate entrance to your
entity? Very tough. And basically, they've got, that easement is for all four developments anyway, so why would I be required to do that? Not very feasible. There's a big ravine right there in between. It would be not very feasible.
There was a question about a sales office on site.
Yes, there won't be any sales. I have the group already up. We, you know, there won't be a sales office, no.
Where do they go to get keys when they rent one?
That's all taken care of by the property management that takes care of everything on the rentals.
That's off-site.
Yes.
Where are they located at?
It's in different areas. They've got a couple of different locations around the Branton and the Ridgedale area.
So within an hour.
Yeah, and basically what they really do is they don't do a key system. They do a code system. So everybody has their code when they get the reservation, so it's done that way. So there's really no, they don't have to interact with them. They all have a site map and everything at the existing properties, and it's a code system. So it's real simple. But there's always maintenance crews and cleaning staff and operations people around the property. Oakmont Hills out on 86 Highway, you can go in there. There's it used to be the old 86 golf course. There's a phase one and phase two. They can drive through there and look at those. It's very nice. That's a good example. I just got through building five log homes in there last year, met all the county regulations for the new sprinkler systems and all the requirements that Bob and, you know, required. So we just got through doing a lot of that.
Okay. Anybody else got any questions for him?
I don't.
There's one back in the back if you want to answer.
I did have one question I forgot. When they start scraping and doing all that excavation and all, where will you take your dozers and earth movers and whatever you're going to use in? Will you take it in off our road where we come and go?
It'll just come in the main entrance.
Yeah. They'd about have to. Can't unload them off 165. So they'd about have to come in the main entrance.
It'll just be a truck bringing them in and setting them off. We won't set them off on anybody's property but my own.
Well, I was just concerned about if it left a lot of debris on the road. And everything.
No, there won't be a lot of debris. All them houses that's out there and all them communities, trucks of all kinds had to come in to build them. And about all these contractors is pretty picky about how they do things. So, I mean, they don't like to interfere with people's other stuff, you know. So, anyway, anybody else got any more questions?
I just have a comment.
No, wait a minute. You guys, we signed a sheet here for you all to speak, so I won't do too much of this. But now, sir, you have not spoke, so
come up here.
I
just want to comment. The water is not a problem. We have wonderful water. It's clean. It's good. I mean, it's capacity. And you got to consider also, Pinewoods Village and Wilderness Club and Pine and the other spot at the top is not developed now, right now. And if every one of those lots gets developed, I used to live in Wilderness. I can tell you, Wilderness is changing. There's half as many RVs as there were 2 years ago. People are staying there longer. And so the water volume being pumped is almost inadequate. And the gentleman right here lives above me, and our water pressure is down. Since I moved on where I'm at, the water pressure has been turned down. It's the person that operates that feels it's a volume issue, not a pressure issue. But the truth of the matter is they have problems with bladders up there in those tanks, and they haven't fixed them. And we have seen over the last several years, and the only issue I have is if they're a developer and they're not doing what they need to do, like keep the roads up and stuff, we're all suffering. And if they don't put money back in, if they sell this development to this gentleman that they're talking about, they should be able to turn some of that money back into fix ours. And I know that's not your problem, but it's not a water quality issue. DNR come up and test it once a week. It's good water. It's a volume issue, and every lot and all those developments are full, and people are living there full time. They are never going to have enough water to take care of everybody. It is impossible. They'll drill another well, and they have to talk about it. Thank you.
Well, this gentleman wouldn't have a very viable development if he couldn't serve them water. So
I've got the same concerns. I've got to make sure that everything's up to date and everything. And they were right. If you'll call DNR, if you've got a problem, they'll take care of it because I've been a developer. I've been on both sides for a lot of years. But I've got the same concerns. I'm going to make sure everything's up to speed. Actually, the water system will actually be better by the time I get through with this process because I'm going to require certain things. So, and DNR report's going to give all the requirements and all the specifications. And I guarantee you it will be followed or I won't follow through.
Is that it? He's going to be in the same boat with the water that you all are. If that guy, whoever's providing, is supposed to provide you with water, is supposed to provide him with water. And he can't sell houses without an adequate water supply.
That's right.
Your situation will probably improve when he shows up with a bag of money for that development. I apologize.
That's a good statement, George. Anybody else got any more questions for Tim? He's starting to get red-faced. I don't know if it's because it's hot or what. Are we done with Tim? Thank you, Tim.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Folks, we're going to close this deal on Echo Hollow Estates until next Tuesday, where we will make a final vote on it. 6:00. Appreciate you all coming out. Have a good evening. To do, so if you could step outside, please.
We have other business.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
When, how do we find out your vote?
It'll be posted in the paper.
It'll be
on the radio.
Be posted online.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
We're a good bunch of people.
Hey.
So we're a good bunch of people.
We're having a 5-minute recess.
You'll call me at that number tomorrow.
No, let's go on.
I'll see what I can give you. I can give you.
Steve, just go ahead. They can come back.
Yeah.
I leave all the time and do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're 1 versus 4. We can kind of catch you up to speed, but it'd be hard to catch 4 of them up to speed.
I make my mind up when I read these papers.
Is this mic? Is we still record? We're not recording.
We are.
Yep.
Yeah, we are.
Okay. We're still.
I'm timing you.
Roddy, if you need to go, hold up your hand.
I don't need to. There's a trash can under my table.
We can take a recess.
Dave,
we've taken a 5-minute recess.
It's still
going to
be broadcast.
Can you hear me now?
See? I'll tell you what part of our problem was this evening.
They turn it down. back into order again. Are we going with the 2014 annual report?
Okay. Well, on this,
do we want to jump over these two and talk to Brad?
Well, all I was going to say on this was just that I provided everybody a report, and I wasn't planning on going through everything unless somebody wanted me to, or unless someone had questions.
Well, I think everybody can read this, and probably the questions will come
maybe next week, too.
Next Tuesday.
I didn't get one. Sorry.
Okay, and the code update discussion. What do you have on that, Bob?
And on that, I guess I'll kind of turn it over to Brad Albritton from the Taney County Regional Sewer District. I'd provided everybody, Brad, I gave everybody a copy of, you've got a copy or should have a copy at your spot. This is a copy from Boone County's. Subdivision regulations, and I just gave everybody that just as an example. Brad had provided this to me from Boone County's subdivision regulations, just as an example of kind of what he would like to approach the Planning Commission and the County Commission with in Taney County. And I'll kind of turn it over to you. And
sure. My name is Brad Albritton. I'm the administrator of the Taney County Regional Sewer District. I've been with the district since October of 2013, and so over the last year and 4 months or so, I've talked a lot with Boone County Regional Sewer District. They run a good sewer district up there in Boone County where Columbia is located. Came upon this regulation that they have through their Planning and Zoning Commission that requires any new treatment plants being built in the county to be built to standards of DNR as well as the sewer district and then given to the sewer district as the authority in the county. So started talking to my board about this a few months ago, a little light conversation about it, and put it on the agenda for formal discussion a few weeks ago. My board actually decided to table the conversation to think about it, mull it over, decide if they have any other questions. But with February being the month that the Planning Commission entertains code updates, talked to Bob and thought we'd go ahead and at least present this information in order to see if you had any questions of us that we could provide answers to. And just see how to move forward. I think my board generally liked the idea of this regulation. The regulation essentially would be any new treatment plants. It would only apply to new, not existing treatment plants. So any new plants that a developer would come into the county where he could not connect to central sewer that was already there. Say he could not connect because he's 5 miles away or 3 miles away from our collection system. It wouldn't be feasible. So he'd be allowed to build a treatment plant. He'd have to build it to DNR standards, but in this instance, he'd have to build it to our standards and then turn it over to us at a time in the future when it's in operation. If this was adopted, each instance would be, completed with an agreement between the sewer district and the developer. They would have to come see us. They'd obviously come see planning and zoning. They'd be deferred to us for the sewer. We would execute an agreement with them that would set forth the terms of how this is going to play out. I think a regulation like this is good for the following reasons. We have had some developers in the county come in and develop a subdivision, and they turn over the collection system and the treatment plant to the HOA. The HOA has no idea how to operate it. So they go out and they hire an operator, and there are some decent operators, but there are some not so decent operators that just do the bare minimum to get by, and sometimes they don't even really get by in DNR's eyes. And so we have to deal with that as a sewer district. And we're the jurisdiction for sewer in the county. And so it kind of falls back on our lap a lot of times to kind of help see what we can do. And I think a regulation like this would stop all of that. I don't think developers really want to be in the sewer business. They have to, by necessity, to build condos or homes or whatever they're building. So we did have a little bit of opposition from Ozarks Clean Water Company at our sewer board meeting a couple Tuesdays ago. And they're a sewer company that... Did you have a question?
Well, I do. Brad, that's pre-existing, so we would not have any control over that.
Now, what's that?
The one that you're talking about now. Now, yeah. A new one,
yes.
In, it would be a totally different story.
Yes.
We can go back and we can suggest this to the commissioners, but it would be up to them to make that and adopt it to us.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, that's
yes.
All
we can do. Right. This is all state regulated now.
It is. The DNR regulates the design and construction.
Any restrictions we pass have to be more strict than state regulations.
They would.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
Well, I don't know that they'd have to be more strict. What this would do.
They can't be less.
Well, they wouldn't be less. They definitely would not be less. Yes.
We're not covering any
new
ground.
Well, it's not so much the how the plant is designed and built. It's the oversight of that. A developer comes in, they want to do the bare minimum. And so when a developer comes in now, he applies and goes forth his subdivision. He goes through DNR and he gets an engineer to get him a permit through DNR. Well, DNR will make a couple visits, but they don't know what's in the ground. They didn't see the pipe go in the ground. They didn't see the construction of the treatment plant. They just know that, well, it generally looks like it's built correctly, and the engineer signs off on it on the
end.
But
if it don't work, whose responsibility is it?
It'd be the developer or the owner of the plant.
That's right.
But what happens is, at some point, the developers turn over those sewer systems to the HOA, the homeowners associations, and then they have to deal with them.
And it could be years down the road before it really comes apparent that it's not working.
Right.
That's what you're running into now.
Yes.
What's the lifespan?
20 years. You generally design for a 20-year lifespan, but with modern technology and things, you can get longer. But regulations... Yeah, treatment plants are unique because the regulations are always changing. EPA sets the regulations. They pass it down to DNR to enforce. Right now, big debate is the ammonia requirement. And, you know, they have to enforce those limits at some point. But that'll cause some upgrades. Yeah, just a good example is Emery Creek subdivision. Developer built it. There was issues with the collection system. There's maybe not so many issues with the plant, but it's just that it's something that they have to take care of. And in this instance, their problems would go away. I don't know that we would want to take over a plant as soon as it's operational, because you can have problems if they have not had number of homes built. Yeah, but at some point, and that could all be put into an agreement that would be executed between the district and the developer, but at some point the district would take over operations. And then it would be our customer. And then we would charge the residents there a rate, and we would maintain that system.
Is this going to be something that you think you can implement and turn over to the sewer district without any increased cost to the public or the taxpayers other than what we got, or are we looking at new revenues to handle this?
No, sir. I think the rate charge to each entity would pay for the cost of operations.
Because there will have to be some more people added to the payroll of the county.
Potentially, yeah. Right now we would have to have an operator.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who's going to oversee the installation of this?
Well,
that's a question.
In my mind, that is a part of the agreement executed with a developer between the district and the developer that would give the district rights to approve the plans and to comment on the plans prior to submitting it to DNR. Once DNR approves it, once we commented and they addressed our comments, then they sent it to DNR. DNR would approve it to give their permit. We would also have a right of inspection of some level, and that's kind of up in the air as how much, but we would have a right of inspection to make sure that they're installing the pipe correctly, building the treatment plant correctly. in installing the right equipment.
I don't care about that. Our responsibility, though, where it comes, what you're proposing is this will become one of the things on the decision of record, and we will have no involvement other than we know that that has to be on the decision of record before we vote to approve or disapprove the project.
It would be automatic.
Maybe the agreement might have to be in place. Is that what you're asking?
No, like I'm asking where you're talking before us and bringing this before us, and what's our responsibility? What's our interest in this?
The agreement would have to be in place before it could go ahead and
if you take it off, it'll have to be in the decision of record, and then you will handle it. And if it's not there, laid out before us when we vote on a project, then it can't be approved because it's not on the decision record.
That would be one of Bob's stipulations, wouldn't it?
The reason he's
I read that.
Okay. Basically, he's coming before the Planning Commission to see if the Planning Commission and the County Commission would be open to putting this
as a decision record.
Well, in the subdivision regulations,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, an amendment to the regulations.
So this is actually addition. From Boone County subdivision regs.
Mm-hmm. I think it would be a good opportunity to try to avoid the problems that we're seeing that's going on right now.
Right.
In some of these other housing regions.
Right. That's really what we're getting at is solving, not really solving future problems, eliminating future problems that are going to come up. Sewer systems are always going to need to be upgraded. It just puts it in the district's hands, which is, in my opinion, one of the reasons why the district was put in place.
I don't have any problem with it as long as they take care of it and put it in the decision record, and we just have to know it's there when we vote on it.
Yeah.
But I don't want people in here yelling at me about that like they are the water system.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That wouldn't be the case. That would be automatic.
Maybe.
You might.
If we voted in and we voted towards the commissioners for them, and
right.
They agreed to do it.
Right.
Then it is. It's a push button.
Yeah, but they're not supposed to be arguing about the water.
You might get some kickback or some feedback from the developers. You know, if we had a regulation or a requirement of the project that they're like, well, we're not used to putting, you know, we don't want to have to do such and such, you know. But none of our requirements are going to be substantially more strict than DNR.
I think the inspection requirement is going to be the one that should be enforced, and we're going to.
That's
have to
good. Yeah, that's yeah. Always
no,
good.
There's no doubt you're going to have somebody to do that.
Yeah, because yeah. Right now they don't.
Money.
I mean, DNR would oversee that. They hold the engineer kind of accountable on that. But mm-hmm. My experience, the engineer gets him a permit, he turns the plans over to the developer, and they go build it. And then in a year or 6 months, whenever it's done, the developer calls the engineer and says, hey, we're done. Once you come do your final inspection?
Well,
he comes out and looks, and he signs this paper.
That wasn't the case.
I'm sorry?
Handling water before it gets nasty, they watch you.
Yeah.
I promise you.
Yeah.
Well, this is basically the same thing with the pipeline. You're going to do a subdivision pipe, and you got to put it in. You've got to inspect it. You're going to inspect it. If not the sewer, then it's yours.
That's right.
I don't know that you'll get that much bad feedback from developers.
Right.
You know, because people, homeowners associations, you know, it's the association, and they don't have a clue. Mm-hmm. And something blows up, and they call the developer and say, wait a minute, it's your. Yes, but you. So the developers might be tickled to death because when something blows up.
I've had a conversation with one developer, and he liked the idea. Not all will, but, I mean, in my mind, if they can be out of the sewer business, yes, they're going to have to pay for it up front. They may have to pay a little bit more to, if we do an inspection, you know, and something like that. It'd be minimal on the total project cost. And then their hands are, I mean, they're, as soon as it's turned over, it's not their baby, it'd be our baby. So we would have to deal with all the problems, but we're in the business to do that.
And the more of them you get, the more people you hire to do this thing. But the revenues are supposed to supplement it as it grows and everything,
well,
and it's all supposed to come out even.
It should.
It never does.
Well, well, that's something that we will be looking at as we look at rate studies and things at the sewer district. In my mind, what's good about the sewer district is we would be able to, say if it was a 100-lot subdivision and build a treatment plant out there, right now, all those costs would be spread across the entire sewer district's customer base. That's not always a good thing, but sometimes it can keep those rates lower if you just looked at what does it cost to operate that one sole treatment plant. We'd be looking at both cases, I would say.
I never have understood this. When the sewer district seceded from the union, but yet we're all got to work together and do thing. I never have understood that move, but that's all right. I'm not very smart. But I think it would probably, yeah, anything we can do to make the water cleaner,
yeah.
I'd be rather dumb to argue against it.
You hope that the revenue.
I would like to see going on.
But as far as the actual, what you're trying to do, absolutely.
And
voters don't know.
Right.
No idea.
Yeah.
And like you said,
you mean hire, send it on the commission and let them see if we want to work out a plan for it?
Right. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, that's
by the sewer board first.
And that was my thought as well, was really to ensure that the sewer board would back it before. And normally we would ask for some proposed language.
I don't know.
Yes.
I don't think, Gordon, if you'll read this little book, I don't think we can vote on and approve it tonight.
No.
You'll have to go through the public hearing process.
But you have to have something
hardcore. But you have to have somewhere to start.
Yeah, that's all we were doing tonight, was to just bring it up for discussion. I mean, if there's any questions that you'd have, I'd obviously take those now, or we can, if they're later, Bob, I'm sure you'll get them to me. We'll do our best to answer them. The board, my sewer board, decided to table the issue and not make a vote on anything, just to think about it more and give it some time. So we're not in a rush to do this at all. We just wanted to come tonight and present it and start discussion.
Probably a good thing, because the commission don't usually get in a rush on it.
Generally, they do.
That's the truth.
I think the consensus here is that we would back what would be brought in front of us.
Okay.
I think it's a good idea.
One of the questions, and it was brought up, is the price. Like you said, you may distribute that through all of the customers, and we're seeing uproars now.
Mm-hmm.
The price the way it is.
Yeah.
So if it's more and it's in that neighborhood, and I don't know what the other HOAs and some of these other neighborhoods charge. Maybe they charge a lot more than $40 a month to take care of their system. I don't have a clue.
You get thrown off the board if you try to charge the others
too much.
But
there's a lot of them.
Well, there's a couple that I know that we're dealing with right now that they're right at the same rate that we are per residence.
And they're not getting fixed.
Right, right.
That's what I look for, is I look for it to be fixed. But I think this board would support it, just kind of a quick consensus here.
Okay. Yeah, we couldn't give you an official vote, but I'd support
sure.
it.
We're
going to have to do something. I mean, I hate more controls all the time, but there again, if it had been taken care of, this water situation here right to begin with, they wouldn't have been in here yelling at us tonight about somebody else
they're
developing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
that is true.
So it has to be right, wouldn't it?
What was that? I didn't hear.
If the sewer board goes ahead and approves this subdivision regulation amendment,
yes. Then you had to come back in front of us anyway.
I think so. Yeah,
we. Well, we have to bring.
And really,
And
really, it would be presented. We would have to present language, draft language to the Planning Commission. And I think today Brad just wanted to.
He's just taking his big toe.
That's right.
Exactly. Just really wanted to. to talk about.
I think
it,
our
really.
Proposed language would be very similar to what you've been presented. This come from Boone County. We'll probably very likely make some few minor revisions, but. Again, this is just preliminary, so any feedback, be glad to help on research or whatever, answer questions. But I'll put it on our agenda to discuss at the sewer board here next week and see if they've had time to make a decision in their mind. And if they had, then maybe I'll get with Bob and just proceed on through the process.
That works pretty good. I know when I had the water district and we took ours off of St. Charles County up of St. Louis, and if you got something that's working, then you amend it to suit your own needs and take the parts out you need, but it saves a lot of legwork on that, and that's a good way to do it. I approve of that.
Well, a good evaluation of the pricing between the customers, whether in the neighborhood or not, I think is a good something to look at.
Okay.
I mean, real closely. But that's where we're going to catch the fly. That's what we're catching it now.
Sure.
That's what we get the big bucks for.
Anybody else got anything else? Have you got anything else, Brad?
No, sir. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, I've got a dumb question.
Yes, sir.
If you take a subdivision that's got 50 homes, or a developer is going to put 50 homes in there, and then you got one right next door to him, it's going to put 25, you're going to put a treatment plant in both places? As a I mean, where does that stop?
Yeah, well, if the regulation's in place, is that what?
Yeah.
Impose that scenario. If the regulation's in place, the first treatment plant comes in, they're probably not going to build it with a lot of excess capacity, but you would evaluate that if the second subdivision came in, and you would most likely, and DNR would probably even require it, you to expand that existing treatment plant if it was in reasonable distance. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the new developer would probably have to take that cost.
They would. You would evaluate
well,
that.
Yeah, there's various ways to approach that problem. I mean, you can go with a capacity charge on it.
Yes. Right.
If you want to overbuild, I mean, you know, you can. There's
right. The second developer would.
The thing about it is, Rick, your beans and your taters don't always cook off at the same time.
Who's he calling Rick?
You.
Rick. No, I don't. What's your name? No.
It used to be Steve, but I guess it's Rick now.
You have to forgive me. I'm old.
I know what you meant, Dave. I just had to correct you.
Yeah. He's carrying a grudge, right?
The reason I brought that up, they're putting a new treatment plant, or not a new one. They're putting one in where the amphitheater is over on Lampy, down there, which that's Stone
okay.
County.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Blackhole. But now they're adding on top of it. And they're drilling another well right up above it. So they're putting in another well or another tank to hold water, tower. But then they're adding on to the septic tank or the septic system.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the guy that's doing it done the one at Galena. And they were getting a lot of slack.
Well, there's nobody in Cutler that's Stone County is here on sewer.
I don't know. They...
I mean, they're pretty tough
ones. Yeah, through the county. Yeah, they only have one sewer district over there, but it doesn't encompass that area. But are they expanding that plant down there?
Yeah.
Are they okay? That would be the thing to do is
but
if there's a plant
a
there.
Lot of slack from the subdivision on both sides. It mm-hmm. runs into that big hotter there in Black Oak.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that's doing it, I've talked to him, and they're catching slack from the homeowners around it because they're having to add on to it because this subdivision. Took this subdivision in somehow. Mm-hmm. They put them on the same thing. So that's the reason I asked that question.
Yeah.
One thing you may run into is a lot of these older plants, if you take over these situations, I don't know your language, of course, on this, but they put in a lot of these, you're talking about Emery Creek. I know they're both gravel filtration mm-hmm. plants that they put in and things like that. So there's lots of plants around in this county that are gravel filtration plants.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been in place for a good many years, and the same gravel is still in there. And it says right in the specification when you put them in, gravel must be changed, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but this is a separate situation.
Right.
This is existing. Now, I don't know what we can do about the existing. I don't know either.
Same thing we do with the roads. If they want that thing, that somebody needs to bring it up to the standards that are acceptable, then we'll take it over.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
But we don't have anybody saying that they have to do that.
Well,
no.
Yeah.
The DNR is not getting involved like they should.
No.
I mean, as far as
you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, something.
There's been a few of them that have rebuilt them lately. I know I took the gravel, but very, very few.
Oh, there's there's a large need. I think there's 53 plants in the county.
Well,
let's face it, creek gravel is not very expensive. You don't go just get that out of any creek.
Better not sell my screening plant then.
Not if it's more, it should cost you a bunch.
It's pretty expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've got not only that, you've got to take it out, proper disposal. I mean,
it's very expensive.
Yeah.
We done.
They're just not
going to
do it for
right.
That's true. That's right.
So these guys are going to have to go back to the sewer commission and iron their deal out.
Yeah, they're going to have to come up with a draft for us.
And then come see if we want to play on the same ball field.
Yes,
then
sir.
You have to come.
That's right.
You have to come back and see us, sir.
Yes, sir.
I guess is what I understand.
Yes. Thank you very much. Appreciate the time.
Thank you. We're going up. What?
I got one question. It's not on that.
Oh, I'm
free.
Ready to go.
Run, Brian, run. This echo.
Oh, yeah, Randy. Randy wanted to bring this up.
In the requirements, you'll have to meet road bridge standards. So I noticed what in here isn't even close. So I'm hoping
we need
we get to see something because I mentioned that.
Which roads are you talking about not even close, Randy?
Inside the subdivision. The new development this guy's proposing.
Yeah.
They're not even close.
One of the questions I had written down, and I apologize, I didn't ask it, but the question was, do the existing prints, is it built, the prints good enough to have the width and the thing for the road standards to go in there without changing the plat?
Look, I need to get him. He's got.
I think the 50-foot right-of-way will be fine to meet the standards of the road. Or meet road standards, 50 mm-hmm. foot right of way will be, but his cross section of the roads will have to be upgraded. And but there again, these don't meet that. I mean, they're.
Yeah, but are these the final?
I hope not.
We need to require
right.
the final.
Right.
That's what I was going to say, too.
He's going to spend the money to do that unless he knows he's got
approval. Well, yeah, and that's what I was going to say.
I don't think we can approve this plat for his project. We need to approve a plat that fits his project, right?
We're going to use the same plat.
He's going to change the parts of the road cross section standards.
Yeah. Well,
but he agreed, and I believe, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was going to do that to county standards. Verbally, I'm going to say that.
Well, if it's not built yet, he's got to build it to county standards. Right?
And
unless he doesn't. Besides, he just doesn't need to turn it over to the county. So couldn't we include that in your wording where you've got the sprinklers and and you've also got to have it up to county standards when you turn it
over? Well, the roads are not even built. He builds the subdivision roads, and they have to be built to the county standards now if they haven't been.
The way our subdivision regs are written now, you're right. Yeah, he pretty much has to build them to stay in there now. He has to. And you're right.
Guys, just hang on a minute. I hate to hit the hammer on our own people here. Let's let Randy talk here. Maybe explain this again, Randy.
Well, the only thing that concerns me is what we have in here on part of this plat he's looking at. Is part of that is similar to old designs, old plats, which are fine at that time. I mean, we can build that. But parts of that does not meet the road standards criteria. Right away does.
He's got a 24-foot wide back-to-back curb street.
And he really needs a 31.
Right, 31. Also, the curb design is not.
Yeah.
We changed that curb design so the curb actually works like a curb's supposed to. It's not just a concrete border, a dump curb. And that's a flat reason. You see that all over in subdivisions. But one of the reasons is when does he bring that to where, I mean, I'll get something before he actually starts building.
Yeah, he'll really have to bring that to you before we sign the final plat.
Okay.
So really, the planning commission's either approving or not approving the preliminary plat. Okay. Then once the preliminary plat's approved, then he and that was the reason for requiring the engineering too, is this was the engineering that he was provided by the original developer. So all of these drawings go back to 2008.
I realize that. And the lot size conforms, right? I mean, as far as...
Yes. Okay. Yeah, yeah. The lot size will meet the...
I knew he could do it in the 50-foot requirement because that's what we have.
Okay. If you're going to be 90 rentals, I don't even know why he lotted it off.
Well, it's because he wants to sell them separately.
He wants to sell them as individual lots.
Somebody's making money three times. You want these?
It may take quite a while to.
Hey, can I say something?
Yeah, go right ahead.
I'll make a motion with adjourn. Go eat.
Meeting adjourned.